On a beautiful Arizona Saturday morning, you're tuned into Rosie on the House. September is Landscape Month, and we're talking architectural design of the landscape with Chris and Mark Whitland of CYC Landscaping. What does CYC stand for? Is it Chris?
It really doesn't stand for anything.
It was available in the phone book.
No, it's a long backstory, but I don't want to bore everybody with that.
It's not custom yard creativity.
No, nothing
doesn't
like that.
Tie into.
No.
All right. Well, y'all have been in the Mesa area. How long have you been at your new site?
At our new site, 3 years. We were in Chandler for 12 years before that.
And y'all took down an old air conditioning building, didn't you?
Plumbing company. It used to be Gilbert Plumbing. They had been there for like 55 years.
Yeah, y'all have really done quite an impressive job on the property. You got a little outdoor showroom that just kind of keeps, every time I drive by, I'm like, oh, there's a little bit more.
Yeah, we're working on it. Unfortunately, the city of Mesa is going to destroy a lot of that here with
are they widening the road?
Work,
oh,
yeah.
Of course. Get done and here comes the road work.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to get a nice pretty wall out of it at least.
So some of the things, a lot of what we've talked about has just been concepts, but you know, y'all's list of outdoor, when we think landscaping, it's not just tied to plant material. You know, the amount of hardscapes that are incorporated, ramadas, you'd mentioned synthetic turf, outdoor barbecues, outdoor kitchens, boulders, rocks. The elements of landscape aren't just tied to plant material. And what we have done last weekend to give people an idea, we talk about, I was kind of making fun of myself every time I think I know what I want for this wall, I see something else I like. Well, we had an article on things and places to go to see the different varieties of hardscapes and landscapes and on our last week's program. So now this Saturday, we're trying to tie that all together. When you're looking at your outdoor living space, what are all the different functionalities now that we need to be taking into consideration, now that we've got an idea of the plant and hardscapes that are available, what all functionalities do we need to be incorporating with these hardscapes and plant materials?
Well, it's really a matter of achieving what the homeowner wants. You know, I mean, there's things to remember that we talked about return on investment before. The thing that's going to give you the return on investment is increased living space in your yard. So, you know, you design it in such a way that it's functional, but you also want to not put them right in full sun, things like that. You want to create shade.
And it's more than just what the customer wants. The customer needs to be thinking resale value. Or you know, even if they plan on never moving out of that home, well, we all reach the end of our life at some point. If it's not a house that's going to be passed on, you're going to sell it at some point. Or, you know, your significant other after you've passed is going to sell it. You've got to take in, you know, this may be ideal for you, but is it something that, you know, is going to fare well when this property's on the market?
Absolutely. And like you said, it's not necessarily what you want today, but what are you going to want in 3, 5, 10 years? And whether that's you, your kids, or whoever you sell it to, you know, you want to make it functional and resaleable.
When you said you're working on a little landscape project at your own home?
Yes, I am currently.
So you're not like the cobbler whose kids have no shoes. You're the landscaper whose crew is in the yard right now working.
Well, they're working on a Saturday in my yard because we don't normally work Saturdays or Fridays, so I have them on overtime at my house so we don't jeopardize our schedule of our regular projects. But I'm trying to open up my space. When I did it 13 years ago, kind of my goals in life were different than they are now. And now we're trying to create larger open spaces. And, you know, I'm adding some items like a pizza oven and things like that. So I'm just kind of reconfiguring things. I'm taking away the kids' jungle gym and putting in a putting green for the big kids and things like that. So, you know, your needs change, you know, and this is just a small project that'll take 4 or 5 days. But it's, you know, my needs changed.
As they do. And in 15 years, you'll probably be ripping out that putting green and putting something else in. Now, as part of Rosie on the House Certified Partner. I don't know if you knew this, but one of the perks is I will personally come and break in that pizza oven for you when it's ready. Well, he said it's only 4 or 5 day project, so I'll check my schedule. I could potentially do this for you Thursday or Friday.
You guys can have the show at my house next Saturday. We'll make pizzas.
There you go. That is one thing that is going into my I've got big plans. And one of the things that I have to fight is not wasting space. When you get in a situation where you're used to living on 5 acres and you think you've got all this space, it's easy to waste space. And I've done a few things where I'm like, that was really stupid. I've got, 500 square feet I now wasted because I can't possibly do anything else with that. And it's combating that idea that you've got endless amounts of space that ultimately ended up in wasting a few. But I've got an idea for an outdoor kitchen Ramada that it's built around, not necessarily just a pizza oven, but that round dome type. You can do so many things in a pizza oven that, put in a couple logs, start the fire, put in whatever it is you're cooking or whatever variety you're cooking, walk away.
Yeah, I have friends do hot wings in their pizza oven all the time. They'll make ribs. They'll do pizzas, obviously. So there's a lot of variety that you can do with it and get that natural smoke, wood smoke flavor.
And it's unlike a grill. You don't have to sit there and labor over it. Now, not that I don't enjoy doing that from time to time, but I don't always have time to sit there and make sure I get the perfect burn lines in my steak and I get it just to the right degree of done wellness or I should say undone. I need a little bit of blood on my steak just to sit there and get it to that perfect piece of meat that I enjoy. I don't always have time to do that. And a pizza oven, I really like for those days where you may have a lot of guests that are over or a lot of things you're trying to get done in the day. Put the logs in there, put your plate, set a timer, come back and enjoy a hot meal.
Absolutely. And it's fun for the kids, too. The kids like, they make their own pizza or whatever. It's a fun little activity.
Well, we've got a caller that wants to know about transplanting a cactus. We'll bring in at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Susan, how may we help you?
Hey, good morning. I am in Tucson, and my mom has a baby barrel cactus that I would like to transplant to my yard. What do I need to know to make sure that it thrives in its new home?
Well, most barrel cactuses are fairly easy to transplant. You just got to be careful you don't damage them in the digging them up. The roots are usually pretty shallow. So you just dig them up, place them on cardboard or something like that to protect them, and then transplant them. And when you get to the new spot, usually you can just rake up and break up the soil and soften it and just set them in place. And over time, they'll root right in. They're actually about the easiest thing that you'll ever transplant.
And I don't know if it applies to barrel cactus, but I know on saguaros, they always mark which side was facing north and replant it so it's facing north.
Absolutely. It's never a bad idea, but this time of the year, as it's getting less and less hot, it's much less important to mark the direction. But if at all possible, you do want to try and plant it in the same direction that they were previously to protect from sun scald, because the side that faces the sun has kind of built up a tolerance to that direct heat.
And because it's a barrel cactus, there's no permitting that's involved. If it was a saguaro, even though if it's your mom's house to your house, you have to get a permit to transplant a saguaro.
Correct. I do recommend getting a piece of carpet remnant and some really thick gloves.
Yeah, don't pick that one up with your bare hands. No. We appreciate the call. Good luck. And you got to let us know if your barrel cactus survives the transplant. One thing that we talked about yesterday, I'd mentioned a good thing that the down economy did was it made us stay in our homes longer and think more long term about our homes, which is a concept we constantly try and get homeowners in, whether it's a good economy or bad economy. The bad economy forced us to think long term. You know what else it did? It cleaned out the riffraff. There was a time you could spit on the sidewalk and make money in construction somehow. And you know, there was a new general contractor around every curve. There was a new air conditioning contractor. There was a new landscape contractor. And you could, the economy was good enough that it could keep a bad business in business.
Yeah. What we saw over that period of time is anybody that, I mean, in construction or landscaping, it's all the same. If they say, well, I know how to frame a house, I should have a framing business. Or I know how to install pavers, I should have a paver business. Well, yeah, the skill to do it is one thing, but the ability to run the business is a completely different skill. And in the booming economy, people that were bad business people but relatively skilled tradesmen could stay in business. As the economy got worse and the next job wasn't there to pay for the previous job, all of a sudden those people started going out of business because, you know, they were counting on the next deposit to pay for this job. And if you talk to the registrar or contractors, they can tell you all about the recovery fund and how many of those people went out of business because of operating like that. Not that they are not skilled tradesmen, but that they're not skilled business people.
And I was talking, I'm trying to recall who, but one thing that we've got to figure out how to close the loop on is somebody could have a landscape company, let's just call it Landscape A, and have a bunch of complaints, have their license revoked, and turn around and start Landscape Company B and still be in business.
Yeah. We're doing a project right now for a nice lady that she is part of a class action suit against a landscaper. I think there's 24 people in the Secretary of State is involved in a lawsuit against this guy, and he has started operating under a different business. He took deposits from like 20 to 30 people and never did any of the work and somehow is still in business. And not only should he not be in business, he should probably be in prison.
Can I give a little homeowner tip? Whenever you are searching a new company on the ROC, be sure that you not only search the name, but you also put the owner's name in, because it will pull up anything else that they've had going on, and often you'll find things like that.
Well, and you also have to make sure that the names match. There's nothing to say I can look up CYC's landscape license number, write it down on my business card, and say, hey, here's my license number. You know, that's a very easy thing to do. So make sure that whoever is representing the company, you do the due diligence to make sure that license number matches the company and it's not just somebody falsely representing themselves.
Absolutely. And a good way to tell that is all of our vehicles that go out to job sites have they have some sort of wrap on them with the company name. You know, people show up to your house without any signage representing the company.
Might be a personal truck on personal time. Yeah, sure, I work for so-and-so.
Yeah, so it's just an easy way to tell.
And one of the things is that the economy wasn't solely to blame. The consumer and the concept that, you know, anybody could be a landscaper and I should be able to get this done cheaper was to blame for a lot of those bad guys as well.
Absolutely. The landscaper is unfortunately the last guy in on all these jobs. I'm pretty sure most people wouldn't hire anybody to come in and be their electrician, you know, or put their roof on. They're going to find a licensed contractor to do those things. Well, landscaping is the same thing. You need to hire people that are qualified to do the job, and that if they don't do the job, there's recourses for you to get your money back. And that's what the ROC is intended for, to hold us accountable to do quality work if there ever is a problem.
One of the things that we're seeing is people have short memories, and they're for a number of years after the collapse, people were doing their homework, and people have started to stop doing that again.
Yeah, and that's why we have this broadcast every Saturday morning, to help keep our listeners and our Arizona homeowners protected, not fall back into that memory lapse of you know, a situation we all in some way kind of contributed to.